I know I just recently complained about Facebook, but I'm going to again, I guess. More than half of the posts on Facebook are related to the coronavirus or COVID-19, whatever you want to call it. And the media has done an excellent job in promoting this. And every once in a while, there's some helpful info in there, but the main ingredient that we're seeing from the media especially is fear. And who is the biggest loser in all of this? Not just the virus itself, but the whole thing, I guess. And the biggest loser is you and me, we the people. And who cares? Well, it's got to be you and me, we the people, because no one else really seems to be caring. I mean, they're coming out with all kinds of guidelines, they call them. Some places stricter than others, because it can come down from the president as a national thing. But then governors and mayors of different places, they have the right to say what they want and ask people to act as they want to. So we need to be the ones that care. We need to be the ones that are going to make a difference. Let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks because we know that you are still alive and well and active, and that we see you working, we hear you working. You know, countries like China and South Korea that were the ones that had the most cases of this, that it's starting to level off and come down. And so, Father, we are hopeful that it'll be a worldwide thing and we'll see these restrictions being lifted and things that have been canceled will be reinstated. But Lord, that's all up to you. And I know that what's most important is the health of people. And so, Father, help us to see how we can be helpful in that. And Lord, to use wisdom. So Lord, just be with us as we look at your word to see what your word has to say about some of this. Because that's the guide that we need all the time, especially in times like these. So, Father, just open our ears, our minds, our hearts, and the Holy Spirit will just give us a message that we need to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is March 17th, 2020, when I'm recording this, and we are in the midst of the pandemic that has gripped the world. This was not the message that I had planned for today, but the Lord just really impressed on me that I needed to do something different than my plan. Right now, the world is kind of absorbed in fear and anxiety. If you have watched the news for 5 minutes, you have seen things that are going on around the world, maybe not right where you are, and not everything in the United States, but other places as well, where stores are out of water, hand soap, sanitizer, toilet paper. And I don't understand that because the coronavirus has nothing to do with anything from that part of your body, that toilet paper would be something that people should be buying hundreds of rolls of, but I don't know. So people are fighting over water. There was a thing the other day on the news that there were two men in Sam's Club that started fighting about this package of water, I guess it was, and pretty soon one of them had a broken wine bottle and he stabbed the other one. So you go to the store to get some necessities, maybe daily necessities or things that you see as being necessary with everything that's going on. And you end up in a hospital or in jail over water. Doesn't make a lot of sense. So where does all this leave us believers? Well, let me give you a few options. One is we can just go on with life as best we can and doing things as usual. There's a lot of things that are now playing into that that makes it so we can't do things as usual. If you have school-age children, you may very well have them at home for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or who knows how long at this point. And a lot of people are working from home that don't usually do that. And some people are not working at all. We're hearing that restaurants are only allowed to have pickup and delivery and all. And so that's going to affect a lot of people in that industry that are servers. They have nobody to serve and are out of work. And another option is you can be one of the crazies. You can have 10 jumbo packs of toilet paper in your house. You don't really know why you have them. You don't know why you laid out maybe $100, $200 for this. You can be one of them that's fighting over the water or whatever. You could be one that goes to the doctor for an appointment, and while you're sitting in your little room waiting for the doctor, you are going through the drawers and the cabinets and you're stealing masks and other things, has been reported. Or you can be one of the scammers, people that are trying to take advantage of the situation and trying to make some money off of innocent people. There was a report of two men, I believe in Tennessee, that they had 18,000 bottles of hand sanitizer, and they had purchased those, planning to sell them for a huge profit and making lots of money. They were trying to sell them on Amazon and eBay, and they got shut down there. So, you know, they may be able to just go to your local Walmart or Target or wherever, and you'll see them out there in the parking lot trying to sell a $1.50 bottle of hand sanitizer for $5 or $10 or whatever they think they can get. Or you may be one that decides to self-quarantine yourself, at least until April, maybe till May or June. You know, you maybe bought a bunch of toilet paper so you don't run out, and bought a bunch of food and water and whatever else you think that you may need. And, you know, you're not going out the door for nothing. So what do I suggest for believers? Three things. The first one is prayer. The second is scripture. And the last one is common sense. Now, the first two are pretty self-explanatory. But the common sense one is, you know, you don't put yourself in compromising situations. You know, they're telling people to not go to restaurants that are still open or to theaters. Or at first it was groups of, I think it was 250, then it was 200, then it was 50. Now it's down to 10. You know, I saw somebody on Facebook that said, if it gets down to 5, I'm going to have to decide which one of my kids to get rid of. So, you know, you don't put yourself in compromising situations. You know, you don't go out unless you do have to. And you're going to wash your hands. How many times have you heard that? You know, if I got a dollar for every time I heard that, I'd be able to buy a whole bunch of hand sanitizer from those two guys in Tennessee. And tell you, don't touch your face. It was kind of funny, again, on Facebook. Somebody had this woman that was giving all of these guidelines about, you know, not doing this and washing your hands and don't do that. And she's reading from an old booklet or whatever that she had there. And she goes to turn the page and she licks her finger and turns the page. Thought that was rather interesting. And in the background, there was a woman that was back there and she was kept brushing her hair out of her face with her hand. So, you know, it's kind of a do as I say, not as I do type of thing, I guess. But the United States and other countries are doing all that they can to keep this from spreading. They're working on more testing and testing more people, getting different, I don't know, ways of testing that don't take so long to get the results. I guess what they first started out with was like 3 to 5 days before you get the results, and now you can get it in a matter of hours. They're working on a vaccine. It may or may not help a whole lot at this point. You know, if you're in an area where there's not very many cases, you know, if you have the opportunity to get a vaccine, it may not be a bad idea in case it does spread to your area. Because it just takes one person that's been in a high-risk area to come into a low-risk area and turn things around. But here's a question that I have. You know, could we have had the cure that was needed? You know, was that cure out there, the person that would have been able to develop that cure, and that person got aborted? That, you know, God said, you know, I'm going to give this person the wisdom, the knowledge that they need, that 30 years from now, they're going to be able to cure a dreaded disease, and the mother decides to go to Planned Parenthood. Let me move on. If you are able to attend your place of worship on the 15th, or if you watched a service from home, there's a good chance that you heard a message that may sound similar to mine, because a lot of pastors, a lot of churches were bringing a similar message. We listened to a church we watched from Harborside Church, where we went in Safety Harbor, and every week we watch Life Church from Oklahoma. And if you haven't before, go to life.church and watch this past Sunday's message, March 15th. Craig Groeschel had an excellent message, just talking about the fear. And he was one that was put into isolation by himself, but because he had been, you know, possibly in contact with someone that had tested positive. So he spent 2 weeks in isolation. And so he talks about that, but he talks about the whole gamut of things and how we should be reacting to this as believers. So this reminded me of a song from long ago, maybe before some of you were born. But in 1985, Carmen Licardello had a song. If you're not familiar with Carmen, it was very popular around that time in the 80s, early 90s. Contemporary Christian singer. Some of the songs he wrote himself, or somebody wrote for him, or kind of a little, I don't know, we'll say off the wall, but a little different, I guess. But this is one that really just popped into my head with the Lord's assistance, that I don't want to share the whole song with you, but just the chorus for this. And the chorus is this: "Fear not, my child, I'm always with you. I feel every pain and every tear I see. Fear not, my child. I'm with you always. I know how to care for what belongs to me. Now, to me, that's a promise from God. And so what does that promise mean to us as believers? You know, God's with us in this pandemic. He's with us and telling us to get rid of the fear and hang on to faith. I look at it this way. I've given my life to Christ and I trust Him with my eternity. Doesn't it make sense for me to trust Him in this? You know, if I've decided to trust Him with everything that I have, you know, for an eternity, can I trust Him to get me through this next month or whatever, to come out on the other side? But there's one thing that we have to remember. That's it. God was not surprised by this. Okay? He didn't wake up one morning and say, "Hey, what's happening in China? All those people that are sick. Michael, why didn't you tell me about this? You know, how long has this been going on? You know, who we got working on this?" No, God saw it coming long before it even started. And He may have looked down at an abortion clinic 30 years ago and thought to Himself, "They're going to wish they didn't do this." Okay? Because God had given us that one, maybe more than one, that would be part of the cure for this. So let me give you some scriptures to remember. And I think I took them all from the New Living Translation. But Psalm 91, you've probably heard that before from others at this time. I know there's been some that say, you know, you should read this every day and just, you know, let it soak in. But let me give it to you. It says, "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him. For He will rescue me from every trap and protect me from deadly disease. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors in the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near you or come near your home. For He will order His angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush the fierce lions and the serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation." Psalm 91. I encourage you to read it daily. And, you know, especially if you have the Bible app, YouVersion, you know, read it today in the NIV, tomorrow in the King James, the next day in the Living Bible. You know, just let that really absorb into you. This is a psalm that's been printed on bandanas that are used in Operation Bandanas. They're given to the military. And the words provide strength. The words give us the assurance of God's presence. The words give us a promise that we need. And let me give you my favorite. The verse that is a go-to for me in anything like this. And that's 2 Timothy 1:7 from the New Living Translation. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. The Greek word here for fear is dileia, and it's the only time that the word is used in the New Testament. And what it means dread or timidity or fear. So, you know, God hasn't given us a spirit of dread. God hasn't given us a spirit of timidity. God has not given us a spirit of fear. You know, believers need to know this now. Okay, maybe you've heard it before. You know, it's back in there someplace. But, you know, that's another verse that you need to read over and over again. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. You know, and we need to be acting in faith because the world is watching us. The world is wanting to see, you know, what about those Christians? You know, what are they doing now? How are they acting? You know, what are their reactions? You know, if you're acting in fear, somebody may come up to you and ask you, so where's this God of yours now? You know, how come, you know, you're stocking up on hundreds of rolls of toilet paper? You know, how come you're acting so psycho about this? You know, where's your God? Aren't you depending on him? Now, we say that we know that God is here. We say that we know he's in control. And we say that we know that he's going to get us through this. But if we're living in fear and acting like God doesn't care and acting like he's powerless, you know, where's our faith? You know, where is what we say that we really believe? As believers, we have a choice. We either act in faith or we act in fear. And that's entirely up to us. Okay, nobody can make that choice for us. And so we need to make that ourselves. So we need to fear not, my child. I'm always with you. I feel every pain and every tear I see. Fear not, my child. I'm always with you. I know how to care for what belongs to me. Remember, that is a promise from the Promise Keeper. Let me pray. Father, we just give you thanks that we know that you are with us. So, Lord, as your children, let us live like we really believe that. Let us be leaning not on our own understanding, but leaning on you, like we read and like we say. So, Father, help us to do what we know is right, and that is to just lean on you and to come for you for the strength that we need. And, Lord, with that, you know, we've got to use common sense. You know, we don't go around looking for trouble, putting ourselves in situations that we shouldn't be. But, Lord, living and acting the way that we should, and that is that we're living in faith. And, Lord, I lift up anyone that maybe doesn't know you, has not made a decision for you, and is not one of your children yet. But, Lord, maybe they're on the brink. Maybe now is a time that, you know, they say that they need something stronger to lean on, and that's you. You are the strength that we all need. And so, Father, I lift up those that are searching, those that are hurting and don't know where to come for the strength that they can receive. And the most strength that they can receive is from you and from your word. So, Father, I just put them before you. Let them know that they need to believe that what the Bible says is true. You know, some of it sounds kind of out there, but it's true because we believe it by faith. We don't have to believe by sight. We believe by faith that what your word tells us is true, that Jesus Christ came to earth born as a baby in that manger, and that he lived his life as an example for us. He died on the cross for our sins, and the 3 days later he rose from the dead. He was seen by his believers and by the followers, seen by others, and he said, I'm coming back. You just need to be ready, because even I don't know when I'm coming back. Only the Father does. But I know one thing, and that is you got to be ready before I get here, because once I've come, it's too late. So, Father, let them know that they need to believe these things and to admit that they've been a sinner. Lord, a lot of really good people are spending eternity in hell because they didn't believe. Lord, I pray that none that hear this will be one of those. In Jesus' name, amen.